Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You have your Bible here and at home, hold it up. Let's say it like we mean it, because we do. We're intentional. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Give the Lord a good praise, would you? He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Open your Bible with me to Philippians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Guys, let's don't put it up quite yet, but for those of us in the house and those of you at home or in prison or in a hospital or a waiting room or an office or wherever you might be, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to talk about a brand new series on how to live a life with no regret. How to live a life with no regret. Every one of us in this room, should the Lord tarry. Every one of you watching online, should the Lord tarry. We are all going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once unto die, to die, and then the judgment. So it's clear, when we get born into this world, we begin to die. You ever think about that? Every one of us in this room, everyone online, we're all going to die. But the thing I want to deal with today is, even though we're all going to die, not every one of us lives. Do you know what I mean? There are people living and they're not really living. There are people alive, but they're not living life to the fullest. So we're all going to die, but not all of us live. Some people exist. Some people just get by. Some people just drift. Some people just live in denial, make excuses, and live in the past. I want to talk to you today and all month about how to live a life without regret. Now, all of us, including Pastor Kim, she talked about it, all of us deal with regret, don't we, church? We all deal with regret. Pastor, what is regret? I think you know what it is. It's that emotion of sadness. If you're a note taker, let's lay a foundation. Let's lay a foundation. Let's give the villain, and then I'll give you the answer and the antidote to the villain in our life. So regret is an emotion. It's a feeling. It's being sad. It's being sorrowful. It's being ashamed. Sadness, sorrow, and shame. And it comes from looking in our past four things, and they all start with M. It comes from looking in our past memories that aren't so good. And we all have them, right? We all have to deal with them. We all have episodes. We all have events. We all have things that happened in our life. Maybe rape, maybe incest, maybe an abortion, maybe an alcoholic father, maybe a disappointment in a relationship, a marriage that went wrong. A dating experience that went wrong. You were in the wrong place at the wrong time. You got raped. What is that bad memory? Maybe it was a bad memory with a church, a Christian, a boss, a parent, a husband, a wife, adultery, fornication. We all have to deal with bad memories. We all have those things in our life where we had opportunities, and for some reason, we didn't take them. And we look back on those, and what does it cause? Regret, sorrow, sadness, and shame. So it comes from, number one was what?
Memories.
Memories. Bad memories. And we all have those memories that haunt us, that harass us, that torment us. And then number two, what did I just say? Missed opportunities. And number three, regret comes from past mistakes. Past mistakes. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. And we all have them, right? This is a safe place, by the way, here and our family online. This is a safe place to be honest. Amen. Because see, if we don't feel safe, we won't change. We won't open up. We won't be honest. We won't be real. And I just want you to know, this is a safe place here today. And our family online, Church on the Rock online, this is a safe place. We've all made mistakes. We've all fallen. We've all, you know, wanted to do what was right but did what was wrong. So regret comes and it causes sadness, sorrow, and shame because of past memories, past missed opportunities, and past what? Mistakes. And number four, misfortunes. You thought it was going to turn out one way and it turned out another. Oh, I wish I hadn't gone into business with him. I wish I hadn't gone into business with her. I wish I hadn't married him. I wish I hadn't gone on that date. I wish I hadn't invested in that latest Christian deal. We all have misfortunes in our life. Bad investments, bad relationships, wrong decisions. And folks, this is life, and life is broken. And you and I need to know how to deal with it, deal with how we feel. Until I deal with how I feel, I'll never get the breakthrough that we sang about today. So it's important that we understand that we all have regrets. If you're breathing, you have regrets. But the good news is, I serve a God that turns my regrets into restoration. Come on, somebody. From regret to restoration. It's our choice, isn't it? It's either we can live in the past and be miserable, gonna die and not ever really live until we die, miserable because we're focusing on our memories, mistakes, misfortunes, and we're focusing on all the missed opportunities, and it's doing nothing but causing regret and sadness and sorrow and shame. And I'm here to tell you today, God's got a better idea. I'm here to tell you today, God's got a better plan for your life and my life, not to focus on our problems, but focus on our potential. Amen, church. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you into the Word of God, because that's what I do. That's what I love to do. Amen. And I'm going to take you into the Word of God, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in prison. If any man had regrets, the Apostle Paul, who was earlier Saul, had all kinds of regrets. Don't you think? He killed Christians for a living. Wow. He had a past. He had mistakes. He had missed opportunities, misfortunes. He had memories, but yet he got past it. He got through it. He got over it. How did he do it? So we're going to look at what he wrote. We're going to learn lessons from that that you and I can apply. And then at the end of the sermon, I'm going to give you one of the top five regrets. Now, what got me on this series was there's a book out right now, New York Best Times Seller, on the five biggest regrets. And I was looking at that book, and it was done by this doctor who interviewed patients who were dying and asked them, if you could live your life over, if you could live your life over, how would you do it differently? If you could live your life over, how would you do it differently? And they interviewed all these patients that didn't have much time to live. And they came up with top five regrets that we all deal with. I'm going to give you one of those at the end and then a scripture on how to get through that. Is that cool? All right, let's look at it. Philippians chapter 3. And I want to read to you this passage from the King James Version. And we're going to go line upon line, verse upon verse. And God's going to talk to you. Here in this room and wherever you're at online, our family right now, God's going to talk to you because through his word, he talks to us. Yes. Pastor, I came out today and I really didn't want to come. And Pastor, I turned on the computer. I turned on my smartphone. I really didn't want to do it, but I need a word from God. Well, you're in the right place because reading God's word You're receiving a word from God. So what we need to do right now is focus on, let God talk to us through his word. Because he has more to say than I have to say. And revelation will birth a revelation. And I might read a verse and then something will illuminate to you that I'm not even reading. That the Holy Spirit wants you to know today. Are you ready for that? And then we're going to come back and read it through the contemporary English version. And then we're going to look at that, one of those top regrets and how to get over it. Amen? All right, here we go. Not as though I have already attained. Now, let God speak to you today over regrets. How to live a life without regret. Every one of us, we're going to die, should the Lord tarry. But not every one of us is living life today to the fullest. And you have a pastor who loves you and wants you to succeed in what God's called you to do. And I want you to have an abundant life. Amen? So he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I was reading this morning in the Living Bible paraphrase, and that last part, he said, that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of by Christ Jesus. The Living Bible says, so that I can have everything God has for me. So that I can have, obtain, possess, get, walk in everything God has for me. That's all I want today. How about you, church? All I want is everything. All I want, Church Online, Church of the Rock family, look in the camera. All I want, look at these blue eyes. All I want is everything Christ paid for me. Nothing less than God's very best. Well, how are we going to get it? We can't get it if we're living in the past. We can't have it if we're sorrowful and sad, and we can't have it if we walk around in shame, because faith won't work when you're walking in shame. Faith won't work when you're walking under condemnation. You know, when you hear that voice that brings condemnation, when you hear that voice that brings temptation, you know it's the devil. When God speaks to you, it's inspiration. When the devil's talking to you, it's temptation. It's condemnation. I'm helping somebody right now. That voice you're hearing over your mistakes and your memories and your mishaps and your misfortunes and your missed opportunities and your coulda, woulda, shoulda, and it's condemning you and it's tempting you to quit and give up and fall short. Know this, that's not God's voice. Because it's God's voice when it's inspiration, not temptation. Amen. So how do we apprehend? How do we grasp? How do we get a hold of everything God has for us? I don't want to live a life that man limits me with. How about you? I don't want man or men or our culture or the crowd to put me in a box. I don't want the church to put me in a box. The church will try to put you in a box. I don't want religion to put me in a box. I want everything God has for me. And I want you to have everything God has for you. By the way, the size of your God determines the size of your goals. How big are your goals for 2019? Mine are big. How about you? Well, Pastor, I don't have very big goals. Well, your problem is you don't have a very big God. But if you hang out with me in this church, your picture of God will grow, and the size of your God will determine the size of your goals. Look around at this ministry. Look at this campus. Look at this congregation. Look at what's happening online. Evidently, we got a big God at Church on the Rock. And if you don't have a big God, I double dog dare you to get a bigger picture of God this year. Because this year is going to be better than last year. Amen, church. Come on, give the Lord a praise at home. Give the Lord a praise. Next verse, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself. Notice, I count not myself. He's examining. He's calculating. He's looking at. He's aware. He's honest. I count myself. I haven't apprehended. I haven't arrived. And isn't it good to know that none of us have arrived? None of us have it all together. Come on, church. None of us have it all together. If the Apostle Paul, I remember one time I taught this and I had a church member in another church, just barbecue me for that. How dare you say that? I said, well, it's just biblical. None of us have arrived. None of us have it all together. None of us are perfect. Amen. If the Apostle Paul, my goodness, he was stoned and left for dead, went to the third heaven, was mentored by Jesus Christ himself, the Bible says, came back and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he says he doesn't have it together. Boy, that encourages me today. How about you? Amen. It's not being perfect, it's getting in the process. Come on, somebody. It's not being perfect, it's getting in the process. Start growing. Start moving forward. Like Kim said, move the ball. Move the ball. John Wooden just told his team, just keep moving the ball down the court. Coach John Wooden, just keep moving the ball down the court. Amen. I'm glad Pastor Kim said goal when she was talking about football. Brethren, I count not myself to have arrived, but this one thing. Boy, that's huge. You're not getting very far, but I think the Holy Spirit's talking to us today. In 15 minutes, I think we could leave right now and say, oh my God, God's talking to me. Wow. This one thing? Pastor, what's the big deal? The big deal is you're a multitasker. The big deal, mom, soccer mom, you got 3 or 4 hats. The big deal, businessman, you got 3 or 4 things going on at all times. The big deal is most of us can't afford to live like we live with one job, so we got 2 or 3 things we got going on. The big deal is when you're a multitasker, you can't be focusing on one thing. And our life will never be what it could be without the power of focus. Our life will never be what it could be without the power of focus. Focus brings power into your life. This one thing. Oh my goodness. The power of focus, the power of concentration, the power of getting out of your routine and getting alone and getting quiet and getting in your prayer closet and having a little talk with Jesus before you leave for your day. The power of focus. We're too busy in America today. We're too hurried. We're too proud of our multitasking. And we don't have the power of concentration. And we wonder why there's not an anointing, a presence, power, punch, an edge in our life. I say, even to me, because I'm a multitasker, I'm a big picture person, but I have to really work hard at focusing on one thing. If we're going to get past our past, if we're going to get over our regrets, and we all have them, if we're going to get over our bad memories, our mistakes, our misfortunes, our missed opportunities, oh my goodness, then we're going to have the power of focus, because whatever you're focusing on, you're feeling. Well, Pastor, he raped me. Well, Pastor, he walked out on me. Well, Pastor, she left me. Well, Pastor, they lied to me. Pastor this and Pastor that. We've all been there. We know what it's like. But the world is broken and we live with broken people. Come on, somebody. And we're broken. We haven't arrived. We don't have it all together. But I'll never move forward living in the past. I can't go forward looking in the rear view mirror. Everybody's going to die, but not everybody lives while they're alive. Mickey Mantle. I was watching, you know, I wouldn't have believed it unless I had saw it with my own eyes. But I was watching. You can go on YouTube. You can do this stuff. It's amazing what you can do on the internet, right? And I went on the internet and I looked at YouTube and I saw a story of Mickey Mantle on the 700 Club with Pat Robertson. And he was interviewing the third base player that played with Mickey Mantle on the Yankees, and he was interviewing him about Mickey Mantle's life. And I never knew this. This was so awesome. This man who played on the team with Mickey Mantle led Mickey Mantle to the Lord right before he died. And Mickey Mantle gave his heart to Christ, made a public confession that I'm a born-again Christian, and Jesus is the Lord of my life. Mickey Mantle. Isn't that amazing? But here's what I want to bring out. Is that they were talking about in one of his speeches before he died. He was in Waco, Texas, speaking at a university. And Mickey Mantle got up and said, "Don't follow me. I'm a poor role model." He said, "I was given so much." He said, "I was given so much, but I wasted my life. I wasted all that I was given. Don't follow me. I'm a poor role model." You and I do not want to waste our life. You and I do want, what we want to do is we want to live the life and obtain, possess, and receive everything that Christ purchased for you and for me. Come on, somebody. And I don't want to wait until I'm on my deathbed to wake up and realize, you know, I lived a life of regret. I coulda, woulda, shoulda. But we can learn from others. Amen. And that's part of getting past our regrets, is that we're learning from every situation that we're going through. So he goes on to say, I haven't apprehended, I haven't arrived, but one thing I do. Well, what's the one thing you do, Paul? You're in prison. What's the one thing you do? You used to be Saul. You talk about a past. You had a past, Paul. What do you do? What's the one thing you do? Here it is. He said, I forget. And I reach. He said, this one thing I do, is I keep forgetting and I keep reaching. It's not enough to try to forget without reaching. You have to be forgetting at the same time reaching. Y'all see that? That's a powerful revelation. He said, this one thing I do, I forget those things that are in the past that's causing and could cause regret. He said, I'm forgetting the bad memories, the misfortunes, the mistakes, the missed opportunities. And he said, while I'm forgetting, I'm reaching towards my future. Your future has to be bigger and better than your past. That's why I've been brainwashing you for 30 days on this year will be better, better, better. Better, better than last year. Because what that does is give you and me hope. And if I'm living with regret, I'm hopeless. But if I am forgetting, at the same time reaching towards my future God has for me, then it's giving me a fulfilled, hope-filled life. Right now is a good time to praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him for our future. Everybody say reach. Everybody say forgetting. Say reaching. Forgetting. Reaching. Oh my goodness. Amen. Break the power of your past regrets by living for your future. Break the power of your past regrets by living for your future. You got to think every day and every way, I'm getting better. You got to make the affirmation and the confession that tomorrow will be better than today. You got to have that mindset. So I got to hustle. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching towards those things which are what? Before you. Next verse, verse 14. I press, you know, circle that. I press. It speaks of a drive. It speaks of a drive. Do you have a drive today? Are you motivated for better? Do you have a dream that gets you out of bed? He said, I press. It speaks of ambition, aspiration. It speaks of momentum. It speaks of life. It speaks of a hunger that there's more, that there's more out there, that my best days are ahead. God, with the rest of my life, make it the best of my life. I'm pressing. I have a drive. I'm hungry. I believe I can. There's more for me in my future than there was in my past. Are you pressing today? Are you giving a full press, a full effort towards your future today? Or are you sitting idly by a life full of regret, coulda, woulda, shoulda? Don't do it. Don't do it. This one thing, forget it and start reaching. Start pressing. Start moving. Amen. So he said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The mark there is a goal. The goal. The goal. Did you know this is Bible, right, church? I sure do love you, by the way. And church online, I sure do love you as well. And do you see the mark here is another word for goal. Everybody say goal. I've already given to you the size of your God determines the size of your goal. Look around how big this ministry is. We've only just begun. We must have a big God, right? The things we're believing for, the things that we want, a new screen, new lights, new sound system, enlarge the campus, remodel the North Campus, start more ministries, start more small groups, help more missionaries. Evidently, we got a big God because we have big goals, right? Southeastern University, raising up leaders, have a leadership pipeline, send leaders out over the world. Size of your God determines the size of your goals. But I want to show you something. Did you know you and I have a spiritual responsibility to be goal setters? Amen. This is Bible. This is scripture. This is principle. And notice if Paul said he had a goal, God's a goal setter. God has a dinner plan for you. The marriage supper of the... Oh, my goodness. It's when he planned it, it was thousands of years ago. It must be big. God's a goal setter. Did you know it's not a luxury or it's not just a motivational speech, but you and I have a Christian spiritual responsibility to be goal setters. Setting goals is a spiritual responsibility. Number two, setting goals will stretch your faith. And we all need to be stretching our faith. Because without stretching your faith, you can't build your character. Setting goals is a spiritual responsibility and duty. It is a sign of stretching my goal as my faith. Third, it's a statement of faith. No goals, no faith. No goals, no faith. No goals, no faith. And here he says, how do you get beyond the past? How do you get past your past? How do you overcome your regrets? Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Shouldn't have took that job. Shouldn't have moved there. Shouldn't have married him. Shouldn't have went on the date. Shouldn't have got in the back seat. Shouldn't have took that first drink. Shouldn't have took that first cigarette. Shouldn't have took that first drug. We can't go back. John Osteen used to always tell me, Dave, you cannot unscramble. I like his theology. Scrambled eggs. If I could just go back, Pastor. Well, we can't go back. We can't go back, but what we can do is go forward. And everything God has for us, possess it. Reach for it. Believe for it. Press for it. In Jesus' name. So he says, I press towards the goal. And then verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Now, perfect there doesn't mean perfect because there's none of us perfect. He already said he hasn't arrived, right? But perfection there is talking about spiritual growth. Talking about spiritual growth. If you're in a culture where the mindset is growth, you'll overcome your regrets. Aren't you glad for the mindset of spiritual growth at our church? It's called Growth Track. If you haven't gone through Growth Track, please, I encourage you to do it. If you haven't joined our dream team, I encourage you to do it. If you haven't signed up with a small group, do you know we have a small group on Saturday morning, yesterday morning, that teaches Spanish. There were seven in it, a Spanish class. It will teach you how to speak Spanish on Saturday morning. That's cool, isn't it? You see, we're in a place of, we're lifelong learners. This whole church is, our church online, it's all a culture of spiritual growth. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm speaking today, to inspire you to grow. Spiritual growth. So he said, well, we're not perfect, but we have this mindset. If anything being otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, but let us walk with the same mindset, this same mindset. Now, let's look at it, go back to Philippians 3. Can I do this real quick in the Contemporary English Version? Let God's Word talk to you today. Because some of you can't get over the divorce, the bankruptcy, the rape, the incest, the abortion, the drug addict, the habit, the pornography, the adultery, the fornication, the wrong investment. You went in business with a Christian partner and they messed you up. You lost it. Some of us just can't get over the past. Here's how you get past the past. Here's how you do not live a life of regret, which comes from bad memories, mistakes, misfortunes, and missed opportunities. There's one thing we do, we forget and we reach. And we reach towards that future that God has planned for us. And we have focus and we have drive and we have concentration and we mind management and we control our thoughts. Amen. And we won't let them wander in the past. And we're not going to live in the past. We're going to live for today and for our future. So look what it says, the contemporary. I like this. I have not reached my what? It's a spiritual responsibility for everybody in this room and everybody online. This is your church and you're our family to have some goals for this year. Amen. And the size of your God determines the size of your goals. And goal setting is a statement of your faith. Goal setting will stretch your faith. So he says, I reach towards my goal and I am not perfect. Thank you, Paul. That helps me out. Because I'm not perfect and I don't make it out that I am. And the biggest room in my life is the room for improvement. Come on, somebody. The biggest room in our life is the room for improvement. It's safe at Church on the Rock. It's safe, our online Church on the Rock. I want you to know that because none of us pretend to be perfect here. We are a piece in progress. And we are in the process. And we know that growth is gradual. Growth is gradual. Growth is gradual. And that's why we're excited about our small groups. Because I can't grow without relationships. And the most important thing in life is not things, it's relationships. Amen, church. Our team's coming out. So he said, I haven't reached my goal. I'm not perfect. But Christ has taken hold of me. What's got a hold of you today? Pornography? Alcohol? Drugs, money, things. I don't want anything to have a hold of me other than Christ. Amen. Amen. That's why, you know, in giving down through the years, you know, the devil would come and say, you know, you wouldn't give that way. You wouldn't plant that away. And I'll go out and give it. I don't want anything to have me but Christ. I don't want anything to control me but Christ. I don't want to be addicted to anything or anyone but Christ. The good news is today, whatever you're dealing with, God will help you deal with how you feel. So he says, I haven't reached my goal. I'm not perfect. Christ has taken a hold of me. So I keep on running and I'm struggling to reach my goal. Look at the word struggle. I'd circle that. Pastor, really, is there struggle? We can't grow without struggle. Pastor, I just wish God would take away the struggles today. You know, he could. Because sometimes, you know, he'll deliver you from them. But other times, he'll deliver you in them. It's powerful. So we can't grow without struggle. We can't grow without tough times. There's just no way. Next verse, verse 13. My friends, I don't feel like I've already arrived, but I forget. I haven't arrived, but I forget. I'm forgetting what's behind, and I'm reaching and I'm struggling for what is ahead. What's ahead for you this year? I say, as a pastor who loves you, good things, big things, better things, breakthroughs. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, hasn't entered your heart in what God has planned for you. This year. I want to be positioned for it, don't you? Yes. I want to be ready for it. So it goes on to say, verse 14, I run towards the goal so I can win the prize of being, called to heaven. Here's a thought. Here's a principle. Big idea on how to get over the divorce, the rape, the incest, the abortion, the drug addiction, the wrong deal is be eternity minded. Be eternity driven. realize the life you're living here is so short. It's a vapor. It's temporary. It's preparing you for the next life. And when you are eternity driven and your mindset is on the return of Christ, you can get over your regrets. Oh my goodness. When's the last time you thought about the rapture? When's the last time you thought about the second coming of Christ? When's the last time we thought about our role, responsibility, and reward in heaven? Get your mind on that, and you'll be so heavenly minded, you'll overcome any earthly hurt. Oh, can we have one more? Just one more. Just give the Lord a big praise. Woo! Now, we haven't nearly got done because I have five principles. They start with the letter D, and we'll do it next week. But what I want to give you is that one regret. Remember the book and the five top regrets of people if they could do it over again? And here was one of them. It said, most of them said in this book that I was looking at, it said if we could do it over again, we'd major more on relationships. If we could do it over again, we wouldn't be so, you know, caught up in our work that we forgot our family, our church family, our natural family, those closest to us. We would have said, I love you more. We would have done things differently. We would have realized that relationships is the only thing you can take to heaven with you. If we could do it over again, we'd be more intentional, more purposeful in choosing, picking, nurturing, building relationships. We were in such a hurry with life that we didn't stop to enjoy, evaluate, empower those around us. Now, there it is, relationships. What's your relationships look like in your life today? I'm sure if they're like mine, I could nurture a little better. I could invest a little better. I could reach out a little more. Come on, somebody. Don't leave me by myself. Amen. There's room to improve on how I can better relate and connect. God doesn't want us to do life alone. Now, let me give you scripture. John 19. John 19. On the overheads, please. John 19. This is Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross. These are his last words. And last words are always important. Right, church? They consider a person's last words very, very important. And here's his last words. He's on the cross. Now, there stood at the foot of the cross, Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, verse 26. Now, think about this. Get this. Don't miss it. It's a big idea. He's on the cross, his last words. What's most important to him? What's he thinking about? And Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. Who was that? John the Beloved. And he said unto his mother, woman, that was a sign of respect, behold, he's your son now. And then next verse, verse 27. And then he said to the disciple, behold, she's your mother. What's he talking about? And he said, and from that hour, that disciple took Jesus' mother into his home. Small group. What is this? Connection. Jesus wanted to make sure his mother wasn't going to do life alone. That she wasn't going to be isolated. She wasn't going to be by herself. Relationships. So here at Church on the Rock, why small groups? Because I just want to give you an opportunity. Why red velvet cupcakes? You didn't know it, did you? Out in the lobby just this weekend for February, because February is all about relationships. The ministry is providing for you red velvet cupcakes free and coffee. Why would we do that? To say you're loved, you're appreciated, you're family, you and your relationship is important. Come on, somebody. Why do we have small groups? Because we want to be like Jesus, and we want to make sure those in the family don't live life alone. You're not isolated. You're not by yourself. You have support. You have strength. You have comfort. You have connection. Come on, somebody. Did y'all get something today? Give the Lord a thank you for his word.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.